This is Doug Miller. If you are saved, you may rest assured that God is watching you very carefully. He has His hand upon you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And as the saying goes, you can put that in the bank. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand and privileged to be here. Privileged to have it. Privileged to be called of the Lord to come onto this radio and to speak into this mic and to know that the Word of God going out will never return to Him void. It will accomplish what He pleases. It will, in every way, fulfill everything that He wants to use it for. And we are privileged and pleased and delighted to welcome you. Bring your Bibles, come along, open up to the book of Esther. And we are still in chapter 1. We've been into Esther for a couple of weeks now, and we're still plugging along here. Open up to Esther chapter 1. We will begin at verse 16 today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And that's what we do, and that's all that we do. It's really rather simple, except it's not simple. Because this takes the Holy Spirit and this takes the prayers of the people of God and friends. In a faith ministry like this, we are ever and always absolutely dependent upon our supporters for prayers, for support, for word of mouth advertising. I continue to say it, please, pray for Dialogue. We cannot continue. We can continue. I can come on here and make noise, but that's about all it will be. We must have the prayers of the people of God, so pray for us. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email us, yeah, we've got an email address. You can write it down, log on, and write to us. The email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up our webpage, Dialogue Ministries again, all one word, all small letters, .org. That's what you'll have to put in to get to. If you put in .com, you'll get something else. DialogueMinistries.org. If you wish to call and talk to me, be glad to talk to you. It'll take me a while to get back to you because we don't have a secretary. But we've got a telephone, and it's area code 405-535-9089. Area code 405-535-9089. Now, I must admit that we are not besieged and swamped under with phone calls. There's no compelling reason that I can think of why you would want to call me, but hey, you might. And there you have the phone number. All right, I think the preliminaries are over. Let's look at the Word of God. Esther, chapter 1. We have been looking at this, and I said at the outset, you know, this is one of the books in the Bible in which God is not mentioned at all. God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, and it has caused some to say, so why is it included in the scriptures if God's not in it? Friend, because God is not mentioned does not mean that God is not in it. God is all over it, and in it and outside it and above it and below it. God is, you see him solidly in this book, but he is not mentioned by name. Now let me say something about this. Many of you out there, some of you listening to me right now, do not understand, perhaps, why God doesn't just speak to you audibly, why God just doesn't appear to you in a vision. If God is there, why doesn't he make himself known just as, you know, I make myself known to the corner druggist or to the neighborhood minister or to the family physician? I know these people. I see them. I hear them. I can touch them. Why doesn't God simply make himself known? Well, I can't exactly answer that one to tell you the truth, except by saying this. Throughout the Bible, from the very beginning, God has emphasized the importance of faith. God prizes those who will believe in him, those who in simple faith come to him and take him at his word and expect him to act upon his word and to keep his word, because God tells the truth and God cannot lie. And to not believe God is the same as calling God a liar. To not believe God is the same as calling him a liar. And if you say, well, if God would just appear to me and tell me what he wants me to do, I would do it. Friends, if you believe that, you are going completely against everything that this Bible tells us. That is not the way it works. It has never worked that way. I want you to remember, back in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, the story that the Lord Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. At the end of that story, in hell, that rich man says to Abraham, if you cannot send Lazarus here to comfort me in the torment that I am in, at least send him back to the earth to talk to my brothers who are still alive and to warn them lest they come into this place. Abraham says, they have Moses, they have the prophets, let them read and let them heed. And the rich man says, no, Father Abraham, that wouldn't do anything for them, but they would believe if one rose from the dead. And Abraham said, if they do not believe the Bible. Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but this is the clear meaning. If they do not believe the Word of God, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead. That is the truth, and that is the Word of God. And back to the book of Esther now. God has allowed his people, Israel, to be taken away into captivity. I say Israel, this is Judah now, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and the partial tribe of Levi. Israel, the 10 northern tribes, have long since gone into captivity to the Assyrians and been scattered all over the world. We don't know where they are now, but God knows where they are, and they are coming back. You see some of them back in the land right now in the nation of Israel, but he will bring back the remnant of the 10 tribes. And that's his promise, and you can count on that. But right now we are looking at the tribes, at the people we call the Jews. This is Judah, Benjamin, and as I say, a portion of Levi. God has allowed Jerusalem to be taken by the Babylonians, to be sacked, to be destroyed, the temple torn down. And his people, these Jews, taken in chains and in captivity to Babylon. Only a small number of those who were taken away ever came back. But some did, and of course it is from the remnant that returned that we have our Lord Jesus Christ descending. It is from that remnant. But right now we see Israel in Babylon. Now let me say something about this for all of you out there, all of you patriotic Americans. The man talking to you considers himself a very patriotic American. You've heard me say it on here before, but here it comes again. I am a direct descendant of Continental soldiers. I have a great commitment to this country. But let's keep things in perspective. America is not holy unto the Lord. America is not, nor has it ever been, nationally speaking, something special to God, any more than the English or the French or the Russians or the Poles have been. There's only one earthly nation that has ever, as a nation, been called God's people, and that nation is Israel. America is a Gentile nation, and in America we have individuals who have been saved, and we have many who have not been saved, and America has been blessed of God only to the extent that it has been obedient to God and proclaimed the gospel and honored the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go farther and farther along in our history, we are getting farther and farther away from that. And if there are any of you out there who believe that somehow God will not let anything happen to America because we are a special nation called of God, you can get over that idea right now. We are looking in the book of Esther at the only nation, once again, I repeat it for emphasis, the only nation that has ever been called God's earthly people, God's this nation blessed and called by God. Did God keep them from falling under judgment? He did not. Did God keep them from going into captivity? He did not. Did God keep Jerusalem from being razed to the ground, the temple destroyed? He did not. God repeatedly warned them what was going to happen. He warned them through the prophets. He sent the prophets. They didn't like the prophets. They didn't listen to them. And, of course, ultimately he sent his son to them. And what did the Son of God say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets, stoning those who were sent to you. How often would I have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. All right, you go back and read that in Matthew 23. If God did not spare his people Israel, the apple of his eye whom he loved, do you think he will spare America as we go down the road toward destruction? He will not. Do you think we will not fall under judgment for all of the children that we have slaughtered since Roe v. Wade came down? No, he will not. I am here to warn you and to tell you, when judgment falls on us, it will fall hard. But we are looking here at his earthly people, Israel, at least a portion of them, the Jews. God has allowed them to go into captivity. Many of them died. Their beautiful city has been destroyed, and here they are in Babylon. Babylon. And actually not in Babylon anymore. We are looking at the Medes and the Persians and their empire, and we are looking at Shushan, the capital city, where the king, Artaxerxes, is on his throne. And here we see the Jews, and they're in a lot of trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. But God is working behind the scenes. Now, many of you out there know Romans 8:28, don't you? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Did you hear that? If you are unsaved, do not imagine that everything's working together for good for you. It is not. If you are rejecting the gift of God, if you are lost, if you have heard the gospel and spurned that, do not imagine that everything's working out for good. It is not. It's working out for bad. You are on your way to judgment and a lost eternity. But if you are saved, the book does not say that everything is good, but that taken all together, everything is working out for good. You may be right now living through very difficult, painful times. If you're a believer, this does not immune you from this. But you may rest assured that God's eye is on you, that God's hand is on you. If you are in the fires of trial and judgment, remember this. God has got you in that position for a purpose, to refine you as silver and gold is refined, to bring you through that. He knows exactly what he is doing. He knows how long to leave you in the fire. He knows when to take you out. And he is already. Things are coming about and coming to pass right now that you might not even know about for your good and for your pleasure. Might not know it. What do we have here in Esther? Well, we have a story that seems to have nothing to do with anything that about the Lord's people. We have a queen, Vashti, who has offended the king, Artaxerxes, or Ahasuerus, as he is called in the book of Esther. We have the queen being kicked out, and we are still wondering, I mean, what's this got to do with anything? Ah, the reason is we need a new queen on the throne. And that new queen needs to be someone who is favorable to these Jews, who are many of them living in this country under the rule of Artaxerxes. And in order for the queen to be one who is favorable to the Jews so that she can help them and save them and keep them from being annihilated, we've got to have the old queen move aside. And let's pick it up in verse 16. Mimikin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. Now, we were looking at this last time. Remember, the king threw a big feast. He had all his nobles in. Everyone who was anyone was invited to this party, and it was a lavish party, and the wine was fine, and it was flowing like water. And the king wanted to bring in Vashti and just show her off. She was without a doubt a beautiful, attractive woman. And Queen Vashti, as we saw last time, wouldn't come. She felt like, apparently, that she had more dignity than to just be some kind of plaything in here to be shown off at the king's pleasure. Well, I've got news for you, Vashti. Yeah, in America, you might get away with that. In many countries in the world, you might get away with that. But this is not America, and this is not, yeah, I mean, Thomas Jefferson hadn't written anything, and Immanuel Kant wasn't there to talk about, you know, the things that he talked about being treated like a thing rather than a human being with dignity. None of that had happened. This was an Oriental king, and his power was absolute. I can't believe that Vashti would have done something like this, but she did. And this, once again, I want you to look at this and understand. This is surely and certainly the hand of God, just as surely as I am talking to you. Because otherwise, I mean, looking at this, it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. No one would spurn this Oriental Medo-Persian king in this way. It just wouldn't happen. And the queen knew better than this, but she did it. And she did it for a reason. And you can, once again, God is not mentioned in this book, but this is the hand of God. This is God for sure. So let's pick it up in verse 19 now. We've got Memucan. He's one of the advisors, and he says here, you know, this woman showing, disrespecting the king like this, disobeying the king, if she does this and can get away with it, why, all these women will disobey their husbands and be disobedient and disrespectful. I mean, throughout the kingdom, the whole kingdom is being wronged by this woman. Now, once again, you women out here, and this will be probably most of you who, you know, you are not used to thinking in terms like this. Nevertheless, you read the book. What does it tell you, women, back in the fifth chapter of Ephesians? All of you believers, it says to the husbands, you are to love your wives as the wife loves the church. But what does it say to the women? You are to honor and reverence your husband as the church does to the Lord. And, of course, Vashti had not done that. And why she did it, once again, this is the hand of God. It could be nothing else. We look, if it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal estates unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor both to great and small. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.